So, good to see each one of you here tonight. You could have done something different, but it is always good to be in the place where believers are together, and we're doing that tonight. So I wanted to add on to the service I did on Sunday with fighting the fights that you have to fight in life. And that key verse was John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says he comes to give life and to give it more abundantly. And so we talked a lot about that on Sunday. So tonight I want to share a story with you. And I think me and Phil talked earlier this week. Sometimes we see pieces in Scripture where Peter says, I know you know this, but I need to remind you of it again. So tonight we're going to do one of those remembrance stories tonight. So we're going to talk about David and Goliath. Believe me, every time I read it, I get a fresh perspective out of it, and continue to add a foundation on that story in my life. So, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and so I want to kind of bring you to a place what is happening here with David, and what's happening here with Goliath. David is out just doing his thing and taking care of the sheep and his flocks that his dad has for him. He grew up. He's the bottom of the totem pole of the brothers. There's eight of them, and he is at the bottom. So he is the young one. He is the youth, the upper teen boy. So that's what he is doing. And there was a moment there where he even did some music. He's a talented musician, and the king had sent some people out and sought out. They sought out somebody that can sing or play music, and they ended up being David. And he came in, and when some things were going wrong with the king, he would sing some songs, and maybe it was cooling the jets of some things that were happening. We don't want to get all into that tonight, but we want to get into this, what is happening tonight in chapter 17. And chapter 17, I'm going to read some scripture to you. So sometimes when we hear stories in the Bible, you just want to read them and not just pick just one or two verses. So we're going to let the scriptures do some things, but we're not going to read everything. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, what we see here is the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. So we have on one side, we have the Israelites, and on the other side, we have the Philistines. And we are going to see a fight. We are going to see a showdown. That's what this is. This is a physical fight, but there is spiritual things all over the place in this thing. And like I said, I'm going to share some things with this story, and then I'm going to come back and bring on how we use this and work with us. So there was a champion here. There was this giant. His name is Goliath. He comes from a family of giants. That's what he is, a family of giants. I don't think I have my clicker. I do. I have my red piece here. So I am 6'1". That's about how tall I am. This guy here is about 9'9". So I went with my tape measure today, and wouldn't you know, there you go. So 9 foot is about 3 blocks up there. It's about that tall. So let me show you. So the Israelites, our average was about 5.5 feet. It's about how tall the Israelites were. So we're saying David was probably around in there because he was still a young guy. He's still growing, probably shorter than that. So I'm 6'1". I'm going to stand up to a guy about that tall. I'm not getting no David's not getting no headshots. Not with his fist, he's not. Okay? So, and a champion. So a champion back then means this. They didn't lose. You were a champion. If you were one of the main fighters, you were a champion. If you weren't a champion, that means you died. You could have been a champion, but you died years ago. Okay, so champions were always a champion until the day they died. Goliath is a champion. Had some brothers, some things we'll talk about a little bit later. But here it is. He is a champion. And it goes on. It says, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. And it talks about how tall he was. Talks about all the stuff that he wore. And all that armor that he wore weighed about 140 pounds. Now, I'm trying to look in here. Who weighs about 140 pounds? Now, Savannah, you don't weigh a whole lot, but that's like throwing Savannah on your back and fighting a fight, okay? Plus, add some more weight, a whole bunch more weight, right? When you're that big, 140 pounds isn't much. Doesn't talk about how much he weighs, but tells you how tall he was. I'm telling you, if you go, what is it? If you go out on highway, is it 30? When you go out on highway 30, y'all know what I'm talking about? And you see that church there, and it's got this big glass pane, and you see David, a character, a mannequin of David, and you see Goliath. It is tremendously huge. And so they made that. So that is a piece of what Goliath is. And he was raised up as a young kid. He was raised up to be a warrior. That's what he knew. That's what he was. He was a fighter. And let me just give you a side note here. Listen. So David is going to end up fighting Goliath. Okay? If you didn't know that, I want to tell you right out the gate. So he says in verse 8, then he stood and he cried out. This is Goliath. He's crying out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you're a servant of Saul? That's King Saul for the Israelites. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Listen, this Goliath, he likes to fight and he likes to kill because he's rewarded for it. His name gets chanted. He is lifted up. He is a champion. He wants to fight. And he's ready to go. And he comes down in this valley every day. In the morning, he comes down at night. Give me somebody. Give me somebody. And he says some bad things about God. And he says bad things about the Israelites. He says bad things about King Saul. Everything he says is bad. He comes down every day. And when Saul and all the Israelites heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and they cried. They greatly were afraid. Now, let's go to verse 28. Now, as we go to verse 28, David's father tells him, hey, I want you to take some food. I want you to go see your brothers and give them some food. And give me a report of what's going on in the battlefield. I kind of want to know. I've got an investment there. I've got three boys there. I want to find out what's going on. Go give them some food and tell me what's going on. Verse 28, David's there now. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Now, David's getting some words. What's going on out here? Right? And he began to become angry and was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? So we see that there's some family blood just bickering here for a moment. Okay. But David's wanting to know what's going on. And he's like, man, they're cursing God. They're saying all kinds of things about God. What's going on? He's seeing there's nobody moving. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's afraid. And then they listen to David and they bring David to the king. Listen to him. Listen to this kid. He says he thinks he wants to fight. So they throw some armor on him from the king. It don't fit. Armor don't fit. So they throw it down and king's going to let him go anyway. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand. His staff, okay, that's what he used to walk with. That's what he used to beat down some animals with when he keep his sheep in line, all that stuff. And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had and his sling which was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Okay, a lot going on right here. I also want to give you a side note that there was a time that David had a slingshot, not the kind with a Y, with a piece of wood and a rubber band and a cloth in the middle, and you rip a rock out there and hope you hit something. This was a long piece. And then you just kind of fling it like that. I don't know how they did it, but he was great at it. But he killed a lion, he killed a bear at one time, different times. And they tried to take off some animal from some of the sheep. Now, so he goes down in the valley, he gets some stones, he goes down in the valley. So the Philistine came and began to draw near David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he was disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So we know David was young and he's a good-looking kid. Okay. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come near me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. So there's some cursing going on. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you this day, and I will give the carcasses to the camp of Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So fathers, begin to open up this service and this part of Scripture. I pray, Lord, we'll just deliver it correctly, and our ears will be open, our eyes will be able to see what you have for us tonight. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So what we have is a showdown. What we have is a fight, and I want to work with this up to this point and a little bit more. So what we have here is we have an enemy that's defying God, defying God's people. And as we see a lot of that even today, people defy the church, they defy God's people, all kinds of things are going on. But we're talking about, I want to talk to you about the giants that are in your life. There are giants that are in your life. And so we need to be ready and prepared, because they will come and they will taunt us. Okay, they will taunt us. And what we see here is David and Goliath are down here in this valley. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and he killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. I think I'd missed a verse. Verse 49, then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck this Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell to his face to the earth. And David prevailed. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood over the Philistines, took his sword, and drew it out of his sheath, and killed him, and cut off the head with it. And the Philistines saw that the champion was dead. They fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. So what we have is a victory. Now I want to bring all this to a piece here. So what we have is there's going to be giants in your life, and there's a giant here that everybody was afraid of. Every person was afraid. Every person was afraid. So I want to help you with some things tonight, because I don't have a lot of time, and I know I'm going to run out of time on this, because there's a lot that I want to share, but I'm not going to be able to share it all. But I want to give you some things. I want to give you about 11 things I think will help you, because I have had to fight some giants in my life. Number one is this. Your giants always look bigger than you. They do. Your giants always look bigger than you because they are bigger than you. Goliath was physically bigger. It's not a giant if it's not bigger than you. So the giants are always going to be bigger than us. Okay? They're always going to be bigger than us. That giant was bigger. Now, here we are in the valley. We see this man coming down. He's a champion. He's never lost. He comes down. He's wearing all this armor. He looks like a tank. He is coming down. And now think about it. And I showed you how tall he was. He's about three blocks higher than that light there. Now, a guy that big is going to have some big lungs. Now, Jeremy is loud when he talks. He is loud. He sings loud. Jeremy would have nothing over this guy. This guy's lungs are probably that big. He's a big man. So when he spoke in that valley and had that mountain there, had those hills, that mountain, I'm telling you, it echoed, and it echoed with fear. So the giants are always bigger, always bigger. So when the giant comes in, the first thing he's going to use, he's going to taunt and try for you to be afraid. So fear is a weapon the enemy will always seems to use, because it is a very powerful weapon. When you are in fear, you have no strength. You can't win when you live in fear. So fear is one of the biggest weapons that the enemy uses. And it's there. Fear is a giant in itself, is it not? Fear is a giant in itself. And here it is. You're going to have to stand up to it. You're going to have to go toe-to-toe with it. Israelites saw when didn't even want to go to. They saw how big he was, and he's too big. And when the giant is too big, this is what you do. You won't move. It's got you. paralyzed right where it wants you to be. Each day he would come out 40 days and 40 days. He'd come out like that. Throw out his words. Every day they got more and more afraid. They were so desperate they allowed a young boy to fight for him. There was even a reward. You get the king's wife and your daddy doesn't have to pay taxes for the rest of his life. And then you're going to be in royalty anyway. You're going to have to, but it wasn't big enough for anybody because everybody saw the largeness and the awesomeness of the reward, but the enemy still looked bigger. The enemy always looks big. Also, as I'm going through this, I also caught something too. There's always seems to be a discourager when you're getting kind of pumped up and you think you know what you're getting ready to do. There's always a discourager. David had a brother that was a discourager. Discouragement comes from within. Because we don't care what everybody else thinks. But we care about what our family thinks. We care about those who are close to us. We care about our friends. We care about what people think. We do care about what people think. And when people speak discouraging words into our life and we listen to that, we're going to have to deal with that. And David says, "What did I do now?" Now that was something you can read into that as much as you want, but you can just tell that him and his brother must have had some. Now remember, David's at the bottom of the barrel. He's the runt. Probably got picked on a few times. I'm sure he knew how to wrestle and knew how to take care of himself because he had to learn how to. But his brother said, "What are you up here to? You want to watch this thing? You're prideful." David didn't stay long with that. He walked away. He started. But Scripture says you start talking to other people. And that's what you got to do. You can't be around the discouragers when things are getting ready to happen. But you're going to have to deal with that discouragement. There always seems to be a path to go backwards. His brother gave that up. Why don't you go back to the few sheep that you came from? Why don't you go back there? It's always easier to go back. It's always easier to go back. Satan always wants you to go back. There's a lot going on in this story. But you keep going. And there's always going to be the valley. The Israelites are over here, Philistines are over here, and there's always going to be the valley. Listen, some of you are in a valley right now, and you don't even know it. It's where the battle is. And in the valley, I want to tell you this, up on the mountain, you can be encouraged, you can get all excited, you can think you're all that, or you can live in fear, you can whatever it is. But it takes faith to take a step toward the battle. Now, what we're going to see is David does some running, okay? But in the valley, when you start walking in the valley, everybody else, nobody's going to go with you. It's your fight. Now, some may go with you a little bit. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, took three of the close disciples with him and he brought them to the garden. But the Bible also says this, then Jesus went a little bit further on his own. And then he prayed and he came back. Could you guys not even stay awake? But there was a part that you have to take with just you and God himself. That's where your faith is tested. That's where all that you've learned, that's where it is. That's where it happens at. That's where it happens at. So in that valley, that's where your faith is going to be ignited and your faith is going to be tested in that valley. Not on the mountaintop with all the resources and all the people and all the people that you have and your supplies. It's going to be tested in the valley. And that's where the fight's going to be. That's where the fight's going to be. There's a scripture. It's a lot of David's psalms were written later on in life. And as he went and kind of reflected back on some things. And there's a scripture that I kind of feel is part of this. And it's in Psalms 23. Which says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me." And he keeps saying, this is God. This is all about God. And he sees the giant. But listen, when you have God there, and you keep putting that up, and you keep going off of your faith. Your faith, you're just getting pumped up, and your faith strengthens you. But you're going to have that moment where you are going to have to fight the fight, whether that be a cancerous moment. That's a giant, is it not? Cancer is a giant. You have to fight to win. Now, doctors can give you everything, but you have to have the will to want to live. You have got to be the will to make the changes in your lifestyle of what you got to do. And everybody can do everything that they can do, but you have to put it all into action. You have to show up for the doctor visits when you get sick all the time and you don't want to go no more. It takes everything you got to go again. When you are getting ready to bury your father or a child, or you're going to bury a spouse or a mother, and it takes everything you got to get up sometimes and go and take the viewing and do the service, and you put your smile on, took everything you got to go through that service and go to the cemetery. But then there's that valley moment when you go to bed, all your family is gone, they hugged you and loved on you, you shared your tears and your sorrows together, but there is that moment when you will go to bed and you will be by yourself. Even with your spouse, you can feel alone at times. And you'll have that valley experience, and your faith will be tested. And you have to have the will to get up in the morning, even though your heart is broken, and learn to worship and pray to God, even with a broken heart. And your faith is going to be tested. Whatever that giant stands in front of you, and you'll get a victory over it. If you do it in the Lord's way, I'm telling you, your fights are not done until we get to heaven. There'll be another battle down and another valley experience and a different looking giant. Let me tell you something. If you keep facing the same giant over and over, you've never got victory. Sometimes we face the same giant over and over and over and over. And the reason you keep facing the same, we keep facing the same giant is because we're not winning. Satan will use what he will use if it's effective. And if you see the same enemy out there, you are not winning. So you have to fight. You have to fight the good fight. You got to also remember, even if it's a physical, that the scripture says in Ephesians 6:12 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, darkness, rulers, and all of those things. It's a spiritual battle. Now, we're going to find out also that we will lean on who we serve. Goliath leaned on his experience, and he had it. He was champion. He leaned on his muscle. He leaned on his weaponry. He leaned on his armor bearer. He leaned on all of his past on how to fight. He was a fighter. Without God, David was going to lose. You know that, right? I'm telling you, without God, David was going to lose in a moment. That was a gimme, okay? All right? But we are going to find out in that valley who we lean on. Some of us lean on the world, and we're going to find out that we're not going to make it. Some of us lean on other things. We lean on ourselves. I don't need nobody. I can handle this one. I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody. Sometimes we lean on friends and family. But I'm going to remind you, when you go through there, they'll go with you, but they can only go with you so far. And you'll find out who your friends and family truly are. And sometimes we lean on addictions because I don't like the valley. I don't like being in here, so I am going to use something to escape and cope with. Because I don't like the battle. I don't like the battle. Some people say, I can't do this without a man. Men say, I can't do this without a woman. I always need a woman. I always need a man. I don't like being alone. I'm going to go through this. Some people can't remember how many people they've been with. They're just using one another. And then there are those people who lean on Jesus, who lean on the scriptures. And then we wonder, and people wonder, well, how are they getting through the problems that they're going through? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus is a winner. If you stick with Jesus, you become a winner. You begin to experience victory instead of defeat. When you were lost and you didn't have Christ, you got all kinds of defeat. Some of us have more defeats than we have wins. But with Christ, He can start turning those numbers around where you're going to come to a place where you're going to have more wins than you have defeats. And God will turn those defeats, He can turn those defeats into a victory on many of those. He can do that because that's who God is. And when we win, we need to give God the credit. Can you imagine being in that valley? Here's this kid. Now, you know, you go to any kind, you watch any kind of UFC fighting or any kind of sports thing, there's always us and them, the visitors and the home team. And there's a lot of ruckus and a lot of loud, but when it starts happening, everybody's watching. All of a sudden, the big man, the giant, falls on his knees. Oh, I must have made a sound. And here's the thing. Everybody could see that 9 foot 9 inch monster in that valley. Everybody could see him. They didn't have binoculars back in the day. I have a feeling that some people were just itching a little bit more closer because you could probably barely see David. Even when scriptures even says when David came up on, as the giant was moving forward, he saw, what is this? What is this? David saw Goliath before Goliath saw David. Just in physical appearance. David pulls out that slingshot, whips it, one stone, and it sinks right in that giant's forehead, right between the eyes. He's got the helmet and everything. Let me tell you, that was God-focused. It happened because God lined that stone right up and sunk right in there. Now listen, here's what happens. He falls down on his face. David said he was going to do something. I'm going to take your head. He didn't have a sword, so he goes over and pulls the sword out of this giant. Now, you imagine how big that is. The thing's got to be pretty heavy. He takes it, and he cuts the giant's head off. And I'm imagining it's super quiet. Still, everybody's in awe and shock until he probably does one of these numbers. And what's the scripture says? Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted. They shouted. Okay, we're going to come back to that. And pursue the Philistines. And they chase them all out and they kill a bunch of them. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. Here's what we see out of this. We give God the credit and the victories of all of our victories in life. Because He's deserving. We don't get a victory won. Okay? We can receive Him, but we need to give God the credit. But I want to tell you, this is really key. You don't get the spoils. You get where I'm going? You don't get the spoils on the hill. You don't get the spoils walking in the valley. You get the spoils, which are the blessings, when you win. You have to finish the fight. And so here it is. David is blessed. What does David get? As we read on, David gets the sword, he gets the helmet, he gets all the armor, and he has the head, and he's walking, and nobody's going to say a thing. Because none of them even went down there. And listen, God can take a little country hick boy, farm boy out in the middle of nowhere, and bring him through the ranks of generals and captains and guys that got purple hearts and everything and walk through. And he can walk through a crowd of preachers and theologians and he can take his person right through all the most educated biblical people, come up and say something and floor everyone. And it isn't that he had something awesome to say. It wasn't that he said words. It's God used him and he allowed God to use him. But the spoils, the blessings come at the end of the fight. And you take it. Because God's given it to you. But it isn't done yet. What did it say? So we have this place. When you win a fight, others will glean from your victory. Does that make sense? Others will reap from your victory. So the Israelites came down. They chased them. But what did they do? They came back and took everything out of the camp. They came home and came home with victory on the winning of David. Do we not receive spoils and blessings from Abraham, from what he did? Do we not receive it from others? Do we not receive a blessing from those who wrote the books of the Bible? There's going to be people that are not part of New Life today. When I'm gone and God is still, Christ hasn't come yet, the church is still here, they're going to glean off of the things that we did. So we need to do a good job in what we do so they don't have to come in and spend all kinds of time on buildings. Amen? So there's a group that's going to glean off. There's a group that gleaned off of this. They gleaned off of David's winnings. So you take the spoils and you take those blessings. Joshua experienced it. Now there was a moment when God told him not to and somebody took something. And that messed everything up. But the next time they go out, God says, I want you to take everything that's in there. And there was blessings and it helped all those people. Now, I will also tell you, when you come out of that valley and you come out of that victorious, he goes in the valley. When he wins, he comes back. When you go in and you turn back, you are a different person. You are a different person. You come out of there more spiritually stronger. Your character is strengthened. You don't want this to, how I want to say it, you don't want this to make you prideful, but many times your name will be more respected and you'll be lifted up. Just make sure God gets the glory for it. And when you walk out of that valley, I'm telling you, you will have a new testimony to share. I love old testimonies, but they do have a limit. They're powerful, they are. But a fresh testimony always tells us that we're allowing God to work in our lives today, not just yesterday. So we see that there's good, so it adds good character in a good way. So when we come out of the valley, we're coming out different. Listen, he may have went in as a boy, but he came out as a man. He did everything the other men could not do. And basically, they wouldn't do. He came out of there a man. That's awesome. Because he was willing to fight. And you know, I believe when you win, it just strengthens others. It just strengthens others. When we have a win in the church, somebody gets a win, that's where the Bible says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice more so that we will be strengthened by what they're going through. So when someone has a baby, we get excited. When someone gets married, we should get excited. When someone, whatever's going on, we get excited for them. We should be happy for them. We rejoice with them. Somebody gets a healing and they work through it and they end up beating cancer. Listen, that's great. God did a great thing. When God moves, we should rejoice in that. And these people did. And here's where he comes down to the end. He says this. This is what it says. So David took the head in verse 54 of the Philistine and brought it to the Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. So he received all that, the trophies that he got. Verse 55, when Saul saw David going against the Philistines, he said to Abner, his general, his four-star general, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. You see, David didn't seek his glory. God was bringing David to the king with the head. I was almost, he was in awe, was a slap in the face. Saul's mind is all over the place. And then Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" Listen, it's very important that this chapter keeps calling David a young man, a youth. Young man, a youth. And he says, so David answered. He didn't say, "I'm great, I'm awesome." He said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I am a servant of yours." He didn't say, "I'm your champion. I'm your giant slayer. I'm your servant. My daddy is Jesse." Nobody knew who they were. What'd I say? When you go through a valley and you come out, many times your name will be lifted up. Not because you want it to be lifted up, because God lifts it up. Because God lifts it up. It's all about going into the fight. It's all about going in there, taking care of business. It's not easy. It's ugly. It's messy. Listen, when David is walking back, he's walking back with a head, and blood is everywhere. It's not, when you watch the movies, biblical movies never get it all the way, because they just, because the Bible is very violent. Let me just tell you, love triumphs all of that, and God's mercy and His grace and everything. But the Bible is very violent. Why? Because men are violent. Men are evil, and we are sinners. And we messed it all up, and we're very violent. And sometimes God chooses a man to take someone out, and He had to take this giant out. Later on in Scripture, in 2 Psalms, we read some things about David getting older. David's on the battlefield. And the Scripture brings up the old giant again, which is like Goliath. It's mentioned in there, a brother. We don't know if it's, there's some son, the son's mentioned in it. So there's some giants out on this field. There's like four of them. One's got real close to David, about ready to take him out. One of David's warriors. Never count David's warriors out. He has the best fighting machines ever. One comes up and takes them out. And this is what they said. They came and he killed that giant. And here it is. Because I think he's talking about that giant there. He talks about his weaver rod again. He talks about the same things that Goliath had. What do you think is in there? "He killed my daddy. He killed my brother." Not sure which one that is, but it was a family member. He killed him. "I'm taking revenge." Well, what we see here is one of David's warriors kills him. And then they turn and they look at David and said, "This is it. You're not going out to fight again. We do not want the lamp of Israel extinguished." They said he was the lamp of Israel. Where do you think where he started from? He started taking care of his daddy's sheep, being faithful, not running from the fights. Actually, he would run two fights when he needed to. He was faithful. Did David screw up? Yes, just like you and I did, but he had a heart after God, and when his heart was convicted, he went to God, and he broke down. He got his life right with God, but I'm telling you, he was the lamp of Israel, and they did not want it to go out. So they said, "You cannot go out to fight anymore." His name was lifted up so high, not because he wanted it to be, but because when you allow God to work in your life, he will lift you up higher than you can ever go. Listen, let me just share it down to you really quick. I can get on my phone just like you can. I can look up Brad Pitt. I can look up Clint Eastwood. I can look up these guys. We can look up other actors and actresses, and man, their name is all up in the marquee lights and everything. Listen, as nothing compared to when Jesus mentions your name in heaven. And that's not that you did anything great. That you're allowing God to work in you and all that your name be lifted up. It's lifted up because Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for you and I. Your name is being lifted up. And the day of your salvation, they had a party. They celebrated and your name was mentioned. It blows away anything here that the earth, the world can do in lifting your name up. Listen, men are forgotten and women are forgotten through time. Yeah, you might remember one. There might be a history book here and a history book there. But let me tell you, in heaven, it's just as fresh as the day you got saved. And that's an awesome feeling. There's a whole lot more into this battle here, but I want you to get the gist of it. Don't run from your battles. Face them head on. Walk away from your discouragers. Get right with the Lord. You know you got to fight it. That monster, that giant, he's not moving. He's not leaving. And if he stands there and you allow it too long, he will start to taunt you. And when the more he stands there, the more fear begins to build up. And guess what? He's winning and you are losing. If you want to win, you need to run into that field. But listen, you take some time and you pray, you work through it, but you're going to have that fight. And you're going to have to face fear. You're going to have to face that giant, whatever it is. And you have to give God, say, this battle belongs to God. And I'm telling you, God gives victory. And you praise his name. And the spoils will be bigger than you ever thought. You don't do it for the blessings, but God will bless. My father died 6 years ago. My mom was a very, very lonely lady. I just couldn't feel the gap. As much as I called her, I could not feel the gap. And I know my sons would stop over there and the great-grandkids, and they just couldn't fill the gap. And my fear was that she was just going to stay in that home and just be a hermit, just seclude herself. And one thing I know, fear gets her sometimes. Well, when you're used to a man in your life for 50 years, you're married and your husband passes away, the world all of a sudden gets a little bit scary. And I begin to pray, Lord, I don't know what you got for her, but she's still my mom. And I never told her this, but I said, Lord, if there is a person that you can match her up with that is a godly person, I'm okay with that. But I don't want to see her lonely for years to come. And now she's married to a guy who lost his wife to some disease, whatever, and they're married together. And the joy that's on her heart, the excitement of life again. And I'm not sharing everything, but God blessed me through that in a way I'm not going to share tonight, but God blessed me in a way that only God can. But the greatest blessing was to see my mom not lonely, because loneliness can be a giant in the valley. Loneliness can be a giant in the valley. Can I be honest tonight? I just want to be honest tonight. I don't want to pick names, but my heart goes out for my niece Amber. I know there's a lot of single people in this church. There is some lonely people. I know that. And sometimes we work our loneliness through laughing and those things. But there's a moment when the crowd goes home and we go home. And we go home alone. And that giant's waiting there every day. Let me tell you, you can't force a relationship, but what you can do is make that your number one priority if you have to. Pray about it. Make it, if it's a giant in your room, make that your number one prayer. Pray for other people, pray those things, but Lord, this giant is taking my joy of life away. It's emptying me in my spirit, and I really can't do anything else. Put somebody in my life. Let us be a match that you made. Loneliness is a giant. And I want to tell you, it's not in my notes tonight. For some reason, God put it in tonight. So, Father, as we close out this service, we get to this altar call, just closing out this part of preaching. I want to pray for each person here tonight. For whatever giants in the valley that they're standing, and it just looks too big for them. I pray that they'll maybe go back and reread this and ask that your Spirit may speak through them and to them, that these scriptures might even come more alive as they spend time with you in this chapter. Fathers, we take a moment of response. I pray that your Spirit will have its way amongst us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go.